So what's troubling you? Now, come on. There are probably a lot of things that trouble us. I'm very troubled if my car doesn't start. Or if it makes funny sounds. I'm troubled when my walking gait is not what I want it to be, or something's aching in the middle of my body. Are you troubled when that happens, or you just go, it's just so much? So. How about troubled when you listen to the news? That's why I gave it up. Yeah, some of you are waving that off right now. I gave that up for Lent or whatever. I gave it up the last time I watched it until I turned it on again. I'm troubled by the world order and the threats to the world, and therefore to my family, my church, my people. Sometimes we're just troubled. And in the midst of this, the Gospels that show up after hasn't been speaking through prophets and as he had of old been speaking to them for probably 300 to 400 years. No new revelation. And suddenly, we start reading about Jesus. And he's being explained in 4 different accounts that all start out really differently. What do you do with this Matthew? What's he doing? Doesn't he know how to start a book? He starts out with a long list of names. Any volunteers to read them all right now? Anybody got that down? I just learned something with the most recent Smithsonian magazine. It was talking about dates, and the word in Arabic for dates is the word Tamar. And I've got Tamar underlined in this long list of names. And what one pastor called, he called this knots on a family tree. There are a whole bunch of people that it's like, why did they get included in the family tree? I wouldn't do that. Would you? Do you start out by talking about the people that you're kind of a little bit embarrassed about? But here they are, this long list of names. And then he talks about an angel appearing to Joseph to tell him he doesn't have to worry about taking Mary to be his bride, even though she's pregnant, because she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And this is what you're to do. And he follows through with it. Chapter 2 begins this way. I appreciate so much Pastor Dennis taking the first message in this little series coming from, I don't think I've ever preached a Christmas series from the book of Matthew. So I was at my reading, just regular reading through the scripture this year, I was like, wow, there's some stuff to see here, to stop and pause and think about. Verses 1 through 6 this morning. Now you turn in your Bibles, please, and you can just leave them open, and hopefully you'll also take some notes as we go on this morning. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Many of the texts say he was very troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Pray with me. Father, this is your word. And you intend that in the reading of it, in the study of it, in meditating on it, you have no intention for it to just slip by us and just pass by us. We pray, Father, that you would help us listen, help us understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to talk about verses 3 through 6. After Dennis took a message that I'm sure glad I didn't have to dust off my study of the stars, but try to present that the way he did. It was excellent. We're going to look at just pause four times as we go through this. One, to talk about any loss of power. Any loss of power can be very troubling. It really was for Herod. But I want you to stop. And we're going to also talk about it's important to know where to look for answers when things get troubling. And then we'll take a few minutes and talk about how old answers to current troubles are something we need to really pay attention to. Old answers for current troubles are something we all need to pay attention to. Oh, that's just the old stuff. You know, that's the old guys remember that, but that's just for old people. And the last thing we want to talk about is that God's will declared in prophetic words are for those who have ears to hear. God's prophetic words are all over his word. We'll talk about that for a couple minutes. Any loss of power can be very troubling. I started out talking about this, but when was the last time you lost power in your home? Now, we came from Minnesota. We'd have from some pretty significant storms. And we'd lose the power just like you lose it here. But when those storms started up, I said to Marilyn, fill up the tub. It wasn't that we needed to take a bath, you know, immediately. It'll be the last one we get to take in a long time. No, it was because we needed water to flush the toilet. It's a pretty practical thing, right? And it can be very, very troubling if you forgot to do that. And why did we have to fill up the tub? You just go over and turn on the faucet. Yeah, but we had a well. And that well was powered by electricity. Now, my family in Texas, when they hear that there might be tornadoes, they go get in the tub because they don't have basements. Man, this business of loss of power. How many times, when you've lost power, how many times have you gone over and turned the switch on? You know it's not going to work. You go to turn on the TV and I did it again. When you lose power that you're just counting on day in and day out, it's troubling. Now, when the car is not working and I've lost the power to get to some place that I really needed to be now, I'm troubled. When my car is not working, when I'm overheating, climbing up out of Denver, Colorado, with my family all waiting for this annual ski trip with friends that are meeting us there, you know, I'm troubled. And I'm no mechanic, and we've already covered an awful lot of miles backfiring, and it has been one troubled trip. And my kids were young. I don't know where they came up with this, but I got out of the car and the van, all loaded down, And as I'm sitting in a rest stop on this freeway going through the mountains, I walked out on the bridge. And my kids said to their mom, "Is he going to jump?" Now, that's a little extreme when you think. Actually, I didn't think about it. I wanted to make sure that when I started that car up, before it really was badly overheating, I need to pull out and get right on the other side of the freeway and then start to head down, because I'm not going to overheat while the car is just running and I'm requiring very little power. Now, this is a long story. I'm just telling you, when things get troubling, so I'm calling I got to a phone booth. We didn't have cell phones then. And I called my brother-in-law back in Minnesota, and I said, "What do you think I need to do?" Because he's the mechanic in the family. You see, when we lose power, we need to know what we do next. So here's Herod. And Herod, and Pastor Dennis talked about him last week some, and I just want to reflect a little bit, because this Herod, he did some things that have lasted to this day. He was a man of, and he was the first of the Herods who were appointed by Rome to rule the area of Judea. And I mean, this guy was really wealthy. When we took our trip to Israel, we got to go to a palace castle that he built. It was not too far out of Jerusalem. And they talked about how Herod was a builder. No, he wasn't the builder that, you know, that carried the blocks and put the mortar in, but he produced all of this stuff. And he brought the money together to do this. Man, that castle, that fortress was amazing. But we'd already been as well to Masada, another mountain is in essence, this out in the midst of nowhere. He builds this fortress, and it was massive. He built the port in Caesarea, and when we were in the Holy Land, we got to see that port in Caesarea and the aqueducts that were there. Man, this was a guy of power and great, great wealth. And you'd think he'd be, I've got it all under control, but he also came down with a disease, probably syphilis. And he was going crazy, stark raving mad. And everybody who seemed at all to, but maybe this person's, they're cooking up a plot to do me in, to take the kingdom away from me, and my life along with that. So I think, as Dennis mentioned, I don't know if you caught this, but he thought his wife was in on it, his favorite wife, so he had her whacked. His sons. Two of his sons, at least two of his sons, he thought they were in on a conspiracy to take him out. So he took them out ahead of that. You know, when some magi come to town and they say, "We're looking for the new king that was born," what are you going to do if you're a crazy man? You're going to, you want to... "Oh, really? So tell me about this. How'd you get here, and why are you here?" And, "Well, we've been following the star." How do you know about that? As Pastor Dennis alluded to last week, well, we've been reading some of your Hebrew scriptures. These guys are not just astronomers. They've been reading scriptures that go along with this and studying all these different religions, and maybe had a special appreciation for the Hebrew scriptures and the talk about a king that was to be born. And along with all of that, probably the Holy Spirit fit into this as well. So this this king, Herod, was troubled. And like I knew to go to my brother-in-law because when I had trouble, and maybe you knew who to go to when the plumbing in your home failed you, or maybe you had to figure out, what am I going to do if you hear that people are going to be eliminated in your business, and all of a sudden it's a scramble. Everyone for himself in the midst of all of this, and strange things happen on the job. Or maybe you find out you're troubled by the fact that this market has been very, very troubling. And if you had a savings going and a retirement plan going, and you're retired, you're very troubled. So you go and you start to talk to people that might have some comfort and encouragement for you. So Herod got the people together who might know a little bit more. He had some understanding of the. He was a Jew from the land of Idumea, just below Judea. And he called together the people that should know about this, and they were the teachers of the law. And he asked them where the Christ was to be born. Why did he call him the Christ? Why did he call him what is in essence the Messiah? Why did he call him that? Well, once again, this word for the Messiah, this word for the Christ, this word in Greek and in Hebrew and in Aramaic, this very concept has to, the word means as well, the anointed one. The anointed one. And, you know, what's an anointing? That's just a simple process when you drop some oil on somebody's head. Have you ever participated in an anointing of any kind? I stood in, you know, dining room of a couple of friends, and there was a severe illness and really a life-taking illness that was being faced. And my friends asked if we could bring some oil over and the husband could and I could anoint his wife and just to set them sent her aside as somebody that we were asking a special favor from God. Set her aside, Lord, as somebody that you already know is so very special, and we're going to ask, just like James says in James chapter 5, that this sort of thing might be done, and we'll ask that you heal her. One of my grandchildren working in another church and as an intern in the youth ministry, they recently did an anointing of the youth ministry. And what that meant was they were anointing literally all the workers in that ministry and all the students in that ministry, setting themselves apart for God to develop and teach and use. They would be used in each other's lives for good, whether they were there at church or at school or in their sport. They were set aside to be used by God. And it was a very, very precious thing. Well, anointing, this is something that sometimes it's a spiritual event, but sometimes it was also that which was done if someone who was to be a ruler and a ruler among God's people, they were anointed, recognized as being somebody set apart, anointed for God's service. I think maybe Herod knew in the back of his mind. He knew about what happened in King David's life, the second king of Israel. First, King Saul had been anointed, and he really blew it. And then David was anointed, and he was about to anoint his son Solomon as being the king that would follow him, and somehow the interloper jumped in between his son Abiathar, and he was about to claim the throne before Solomon ever got to it. Kings could be very, very, they'd have reason to be suspicious that somebody else was after their position. So King Herod is thinking, you know, you say there's another king. You're following his star. That king, I'm wondering if he is the Messiah, the Christ. Tell me where the Christ is to be born. Tell me where the Christ is to be born, the anointed one. The people were, this was not something that just kind of hit them out of nowhere. The people were already talking. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 3, verse 15, the people were waiting expectantly for a Messiah, a Christ, the anointed one. They were expecting. And they even thought, they began to talk as it seems like there's kind of a little bit of a, we jump back and forth in time. We've just talked about Jesus being born. We've just talked about after a couple of years that these wise men, these magi show up. But then in Luke chapter 3, now we skip forward a little bit, and John the Baptist is on the scene, and people are beginning to ask the question. They're asking John. They're asking one another, are you the anointed one? Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? In Luke chapter 3, verse 15, is this the prophet? Is he the Christ? Herod was very, very troubled. And so he asked these leaders, these people that were experts in the Word of God, well, what are we going to do about this? Tell me where he's supposed to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. And I think that probably Herod was, at that point in time, okay, well, he didn't seem to be at that point in time all that troubled. Okay, we know we'll isolate this. We'll do something about that. We'll talk about that a little bit next week. But I think it's I got thinking about a month or two ago about this very issue, about what Matthew is describing that's going on here. I got wondering about this issue about where prophecy fits in my life, in the life of our church, in the life of this world in which we're living right now. Where does prophecy fit? I was with some guys yesterday, and they were talking about prophecy and, you know, the times in which we live right now. We've got a lot of people talking about, you know what we often say before, we didn't say it this Sunday, but what do we say just before we take the cup usually? Until he comes. And it's just like, you know, we're going to be doing this until Jesus returns. You know what? with. I wonder how Putin fits into this plan as to what's going on right now. And how about Chairman Xi? And how about Kim Jong-un? Oh, I don't know. Who knows? Now, how does all of this fit together with all this craziness? This has to be the moment. Well, it very well could be. I know this. We're closer to that moment than we ever have been before. There's a profound word, right? You can count on me to be your prophetic source. But, you know, what are we supposed to do with the prophecies of God? There are over 300 prophecies about Jesus. Well over 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. That's a lot of prophetic words spoken about him, this one man. There's a whole ministry that's dedicated to finding Jesus in every chapter of the Bible, and I think that there's reason to pursue that. What was a prophet? A prophet was somebody who was a speaker for God. They gave voice to what God wanted them to give voice to. They put their pen to what God wanted them to put their pen to. They were somebody that sometimes told the future. I read someone saying they gave voice to the fact that it's all about Christ. It's all about him. But the words of the prophet were words that God wanted spoken to bring light to the eyes of people just like us, going through the troubling times that they're going through. They would describe something that was happened. They would describe the one coming who was the anointed one. They would describe the one who was to be the savior of the world. They would give voice and pen to that. And along the way, they would give voice to this reality. A prophet we think of sometimes as pointing the finger and saying, you better get your act together. That was a prophet. Sometimes they foretold. Sometimes they just told it the way it is. They told about principles to live. And always, always it was, God wants you to pay attention to this. So you live in troubling times, Herod. So you live in troubling times, John. So you live in troubling times, people in America or people in Pakistan or people in India or people in China in the depths of a persecution against Christians and Muslims. It's a troubling time. So come to me while you're troubled and listen to me. Israel had lots of prophets that came and pointed the finger at them and said, you know, when will you trust the Lord? When will you quit saying, I think I've got this. I think I'll figure this out by myself. For my plumber friends listening in today, when I'm troubled by plumbing that doesn't work in my house, I think for the most part, I made a promise to myself anyway, not necessarily to God, that I wouldn't try to fix my own plumbing problems. Because, you know, I can spend a whole Saturday, I can ruin a whole weekend, and then I'm still going to call the plumber. You know, why do this to myself? I remember I had a problem with a car. Two times in my life, I blew the fusible link in a car, which shuts everything down, everything. There's a puff of smoke, poof, and you say, what was that? Well, you're not going anywhere. There's this magic link. And after two times, I vowed I would not try to fix my cars anymore in my own driveway where now it's blocking everything. You see, God's people, you know what they were doing? They kept on asking for God to deliver them. And then they did it their own way. They made some crazy decisions. And all the time, what they failed to recognize was the fact that when God speaks through the prophet, they need to pay attention. When God speaks through the prophet, we need to pay attention. We need to. The coming of Christ would change our eternal destiny for all those of us who trust him. And it would also change the day-by-day destiny of how we live our lives. Jesus came to save me, to redeem me and you from our sins, to buy us back. But he also, in that redeeming us, so that heaven is our home, heaven's our home, promised, and he always keeps his word. But along the way, he's also my redeemer, saving me from myself day in, day out, if I'll turn to him and trust him in some very, very, very practical ways. Some of you have heard me say this. It was just like one of these dramatic moments in my life. And it was kind of a silly thing going on around here. We've been having leaks in this facility for a long time. We've had roofs fixed a number of times. We've worked on roofs together and fixed them. And it's been a good bonding experience. Hopefully we bound the roof together enough. But we were on a mission, and three of us were up on the roof, and we had a hose up there. And I said, "So I'm absolutely positive the leak is not right here. It's not here. No, look at all the stuff that's been gooped up here. No, I think that this is where the leak is." And I said, "Well, you know, let's have at it. I suppose we're gonna put some water on the roof." And one of my friends from our Spanish congregation, who I've learned to love and really appreciate, he said, "Well, Pastor, like the Israelites were told before they stepped into the, they were going across the Jordan River. And if you're going to believe me, you're going to have to step into the water before I part the water. Step in. And I'm not going to do this until the last priest puts his feet in the water. You're going to lead the people across." And so my friend said, "I think before we do this, we're going to put some water on and we're going to pray that God helps us find it." And I thought, "We're going to have a prayer meeting here on the roof of the church? Seriously, come on." Honestly, I feel very silly about this. But I'm with two really important men of God as part of our ministry. I said, "Okay, let's pray." And they prayed, and I listened and was part of that prayer. Folks, the prophets speak. You know, I know what the account in Matthew is talking about, but there was something that was also happening in the midst of all of this. Something that, because God speaks so often through the prophets, it's like every word in this book is the prophetic word of God. It's not just history. It's not just a historical account. It's not just a few principles. It is for people like me and you. How are we going to deal with trouble? Heavenly Father, I thank you that the coming of Jesus was filled with reality, filled with challenges. I pray, Father, that that you would remind me that I need to trust you and follow you. I pray, Father, that during this season of the year where maybe all sorts of things will be happening for all of us, might we turn to you and let you lead us. Thank you for your prophetic word, the word of God, a word full of promises and challenges and commands. I pray you'd find us obedient. Would you stand with me, please? And we continue to just pray. Father, I know that the Apostle Paul told us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work within us, both to will and to do his good will. I pray, Lord, that we would be people of the book who trust you and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.